It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
It's hoodie season, bitches!
Yeah. I was gonna say, isn't it always for you? But I guess not. You don't always wear
it. No. Too warm.
Yeah.
About 6 months out of the year, no hoodies. 6 months out of the year, hoodies. And like all the time hoodies, like in the house hoodie. In fact, this is my going out hoodie. I have three hoodies. And the other two are just basic, just straight black or straight gray. This one's the oldest one and it's been washed the most. So even though it is soft and fluffy, it is the least soft and fluffy, it's the coolest looking. So it's what I wear out and get compliments and everything. And then the black one is my at home hoodie. And the gray one is actually usually for Trish when she feels like it. But I'm in them all the time now, like, cause it's too cold, even in my drafty ass house. So. This is what we do now, and the compliments are already coming in from various drive-through people, because that's how I live my life. I just wear hoodies and drive-through to get food, and everybody loves them. But
it looks cozy. It always looks cozy.
It's super cozy. It's great. Yeah. I feel like there's an earlier me that couldn't do it, because as we've established, it's the most artificial of materials, and it does not breathe at all. And so there was definitely a time something happened, and I feel like it happened when I got my spinal surgery. Because I'd like to say, like, I lost weight, and so my weight has fluctuated a bit, but it's never been a huge change. But somewhere I used to be one of those who was never cold. I could go out in 30 degrees in short sleeves or whatever and be fine. And was always too hot all the time, or very easily too hot. And that still can be a thing, but I get cold so much easier, and it is harder to get me overheated now. And it seems to coincide a little bit with my spinal surgery, which on the one hand is absolutely made up, but on the other hand kind of makes intuitive sense. I don't know. It's one of the many just weird things that sort of changed after that. But
What year was that when you had your surgery?
2014. This year was it was in like February of 2014.
Yeah.
But yeah, so since then, and the hoodies only showed up a few years ago. So.
Interesting.
But it helps. Well, and very sad. This is also the time of the year now where my hands and feet are cold and will not warm up until I've taken a shower.
Oh.
Just circulation stuff. Which sucks. But, yeah. And this is also, I haven't done it yet. It's probably going to happen this weekend. The fans are getting put away. And the carpet with the heating pad under it that goes down here will show up for my feet to stay warm. Trish got that for me a couple years ago, and it's huge. It's awesome.
Nice.
It's also where the cats will then live. It cracks me up actually, because when it started to get cold, I haven't done that yet, but I did bring out a lap blanket. And I have that all winter too, and it sits down there in the same spot where it would sit where I had the heating pad. And the cats just associate it. So immediately they start laying in there. And I'm like, it's not even warm.
Yeah.
The only downside then is then I accidentally kick them.
Yeah, that's a downside. Yeah.
It's mostly a downside for them. So. Whatevs. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that kicks cats and isn't afraid to let people know it. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 714.
To be fair, I do not kick my cats on purpose, ever. I was going to say, and I never have, but I'm trying to think. No, I never have. I never have kicked a cat on purpose. I have bowled a cat down a hallway in anger.
Oh.
And that cat's dead now. But to be fair, there were about 16 years in between when I did it and when they died. So I do not think the two
probably not connected.
Are related?
No, probably not.
But yeah. For those of you just joining us for the first time, this is a good time to come in. Last week was not a good time to come in. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own very unpopular email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, when the stars align, write into that email address, that's for the editor to cut that part out. People write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want for us to talk about. Because otherwise we just talk about movies and TV and video games and William's incredibly boring job. And nobody wants that. So anyway, the people write in, and the hat magically, all on its own, clicks the forward button and forwards into us, and we read them, talk about them, and we get them. That's it. So, now that I'm more like alive and I feel like I've passed by the, I have processed as best I can what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else we need to say on that front, really?
Not me, no, but.
Okay. I want to give some very ambiguous advice because I don't want to drill down deep into this, but I, now that I've like gotten over the initial shock, I am doing pretty okay. I mean, I do think some emotional changes and the way my relationship to my society is changing, but I do not think it is going to practically change what I do in my life. Just sort of recontextualize it. But this is a very important time for people to remember the idea of the circle of influence versus the circle of concern. If only take in as much news as helps you live your life and fulfill your responsibilities. A lot of bad things might happen. A lot of bad things will happen. They aren't necessarily the same. A lot of those bad things you personally cannot impact. And in a lot of those cases, do not personally impact you. And so spending time worrying and being angry about it is just going to stress you out more. So he's going to do so much crazy shit, people. And a lot of it is going to be embarrassing and humiliating for us as the people who are his constituents. But it's not going to impact us. And so don't spend energy on it. I know I am less politically active than most. I'm going to continue to vote. Although I will say this was the first time I had that moment of like, oh, this is why people don't vote. But I'm still going to vote because it's real easy to do. And I'm still going to donate to causes I believe in, none of which are candidates, political parties, or political action committees. But I think we may be adjusting some of our contributions to various people there. But that's all I do now. And that's probably all I'm going to keep doing. If civil war breaks out, whatever. If something egregious enough happens that we need to drive to Washington and protest again, I can do that. But it sucks, but don't let it seep into your day to day. And you avoid that mostly by not paying attention to it. It's not. There's going to be a lot of song and dance that's going to suck, but that's not going to. It's going to be like soap opera plots. It'll be crazy and awful, but then it won't matter shortly after. Or it'll be crazy and awful, but there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. So protect yourself emotionally. Don't let it. I know I did, but hopefully we learned a lot of lessons between 2016 and 2020. And I plan to put those lessons to good use. And it'll be 2028 before we know it. Hmm. Or we'll be dead. But yeah, we don't need to talk about that no more. That was more than we probably should have. How's your week?
Well, I did forget last time to mention that we did a Hunt a Killer box.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we did the Blair Witch one, the first Blair Witch one.
Oh.
And it was super fun. Really,
which
really
one of you it. Ended up in the corner playing hopscotch or whatever it is?
Neither one of us. Somebody did, but not us. It was really super fun. So the second one, we almost went right ahead and got the second one because, oh, that was so fun. Let's get the second one. But it's like discontinued. I mean, we could probably get it like used or something. I don't know if we're going to do that, but we really liked it. And it really sort of also reinforced. The last one we did was a level 4 difficulty, and this was a level 3. And I think I said before that we didn't find the level 4 to be really more difficult, just more time consuming and tedious in ways that we didn't think were fun. So we think we'll probably still, like, if we see a game we like that has a theme or something we like, we'll probably still get it if it's level 4. But I think we do like level 3 games, again, not because they're easier, but because they're less, like I said, less tedious. I mean, I'm sure other people like some of the stuff. They don't find that stuff tedious, but we kind of do.
Yeah, nerds.
No, I don't. It's not that. It's kind of like, it's kind of the same thing with video games, you know. It's like, it's not that we couldn't enjoy being on a higher level of difficulty, but that's just not fun, you know. So we run it on like a story level or a lower level of difficulty. But I understand people who like it.
Most fun things about hanging out with you is I can say something like nerds and you will respond as though that was a legitimate comment about
No, I just...
You're the only person I know who does that, and it's so fun to watch you dance. I make weird fart sounds, and you're like, well, that's an interesting point.
Well, I think I do that because I don't want someone to think that I think that those people are nerds. I don't think that.
Yes, and that's why I say that. I actually anticipate you're going to be like, I guess you've never been taught. You don't need to do that. You just shake your head and say, whatever, Uncle Tony. This is what we have taught the generations below, and the generations have taught other children. That's how you respond to me.
But yeah, I recommend it because I thought it was super fun. But we haven't purchased a new one yet because that's what we were kind of excited about, because there's a second Blair Witch one and we can't play that one. Well, like I said, maybe we'll find one that's, I don't know. But we probably will. We looked at some of the ones that are available still, and there's still some we want to play. So we really like it. We'll probably keep doing it. We didn't really watch.
I should introduce you to this expensive hobby.
Yes. I'm glad you did too. We didn't really watch anything this week that is worth talking about, although we are still watching. Did I tell you we're watching Paranormal on tape or Paranormal?
You did talk about that a little bit. Yes. Yeah,
we're watching that.
And so far you haven't seen any definitive proof of ghosts.
Well, I think as I stated last time, there are things that if they're not hoaxes, they would be extremely difficult to explain. But the thing is, you could always say, well, I think that's a hoax. I mean, as we've talked about, people who say, you know, for this to be a hoax, you'd have to believe that person's lying and all these other things. That seems really incredible to believe. Yes, but believing all the laws of physics are wrong is a lot harder. It just is. It's always going to be a lot harder. I don't think people think about what kinds of things you have to accept to just believe whatever. And you asked this, well, is there anything that would convince you? Yeah, if I could replicate it, if I could repeat it, if I could test it, that's what would convince me. And I don't think that's unreasonable. But of course, I also understand people who do, you know, see these things or experience these things and they believe. I understand that. I see what's going on. I see how you would think, no, I think that person's a credible person. I don't think that person's hoaxing. And I would admit that if I was going to block off that explanation for myself, I don't know how it explains some of the things that they show in this show.
Well, and sometimes it's second, you can think of it as secondhand hoax. They're not lying, but somebody else is tricking them.
Well, right. And that's especially...
And that's less hard to believe because you don't know who the other person is. Maybe they're a shithead.
Yeah. Well, look, sometimes when you can see what's clearly a person walking down a hallway in an abandoned place, to me, that's just a person. And that they can insist all they want. Nobody else was there. How do you know? You probably put on social media that you were going to go there, and then someone thought, hey, this will be fun. I mean... Unless you rush over there and look, which they never do, they run away scared. That's a person. That's what it looks like. That's what I'm going to think it is. And again, it is. You can tell me how outlandish believing something's a hoax is, and I won't even disagree with you. I'll say, yeah, this person did seem credible, and this does seem amazing that they hoaxed. But I don't think you understand.
Ghosts are real.
Yeah, that's harder. That is.
There's a surprising number of like conspiracy theories where the biggest way to sort of debunk them is not to deal with their evidence, but to be like, why would they do this?
Yeah.
Or like, why is this the moon landing one? Like the moon landing ones are all sorts of stuff. But what I love, I think Mitchell and Webb did a bit that sort of highlighted this, is the common moon landing fake claims combined with the actual evidence, like people saw rocket, like it would be just as hard. It wouldn't be any harder to just go to the moon.
Yeah, after a while, that's true.
And there's a little bit the flat earth one. I mean, there's some real easy ways to debunk that, but also like, why is anyone trying to convince people that the earth is round if it's flat? What's the benefit?
Yeah.
Why would they lie about that?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard reasons like, oh, they don't want people to go a particular direction or see certain, I don't know.
And it's, but your ghost one, I like, it's like, oh no, come on. It has to be. It's like, I mean, that is interesting and I don't have the answers, but that's a big leap to be like, okay, I guess there's spirits now.
Yeah. It's a huge leap. It really is. And it's not a huger leap for me to believe this person who, you know, they interview these people, and they do seem credible, but it's just harder. And not just that, well, but
there's a classic one when you get a lot of like intelligent design arguments or trying to prove God and stuff like that, where it's like, here's a thing scientists can't explain, therefore science is wrong,
or that I can't explain.
It must be God, it must be ghosts, right. It must be the devil. There's a lot of shit science doesn't know yet that doesn't mean it's not a thing.
Well, but also that I can't explain it doesn't mean it doesn't have an explanation.
Yeah, you're a terrible scientist.
I watch magicians all the time and I can't tell you how they did it. I do not believe it was supernatural, they will tell me, they assure me that it's not supernatural. Many of these magicians, no, this wasn't supernatural. Trust me, it's just a trick. And I believe them without them telling me what the trick was, you know. And not only that, but pretty much every single time they tell you how they did it, it's like disappointing. It's like, what? That's it? That's all you did? So
this does give birth to one of my favorite modern fantasy archetypes, though, which is I'm a genuine wizard and I pretend to be a stage magician in my life because I don't want the hassle of people knowing I have actual magic powers, but it's a real easy way to make a living.
Yeah, well, again, I don't trust my own senses or abilities to figure it out that much.
I don't trust your senses or abilities.
I don't trust other people's senses or abilities to figure it out that much, right? If someone says, well, there's no other explanation, even, you know, and I can't think of another explanation. Okay, well, I don't think just because I can't figure it out doesn't mean there's no explanation. And I don't believe just because you can't figure out there's no explanation. And I, you know, I'm left just trying to do the best I can and pick the thing that's easiest to believe. But like I said, I understand someone saying, well, I just believe these people, right? I mean, I understand that because they do seem credible. I've seen the interviews with these people. And if I was blocking that possibility off myself, let's say it's someone I knew and really trusted, and I was like, just certain they wouldn't hoax something like this. I don't know how I'd explain it. But again, still, like you said, I don't know. I mean, I can imagine someone hoaxing them, you know what I mean? And getting away with it pretty easily on most of these things. Some of the things that are moving around move in a very distinct way that look like, you know, something's tied and someone's yanking it. I mean, it moves that way. It moves like, you know, the center of gravity of the thing, right? Is following a very particular line. Now, not always.
Ghost string.
Not always. Not always. Sometimes they move in ways it's like, okay, well, that is moving in a weird way. I mean, I'm acknowledging that there are things that I see on there that I don't know how that was done, and I can't even really piece together or imagine, it's not incontrovertible truth or a proof of what they're saying, because I can imagine that someone would figure something like, again, I've seen enough magic tricks to know you can be fooled quite easily by somebody.
But also, okay, let's make the best conditions we can. You and I are part of this ghost hunting group. Mm-hmm. We go to this place. We have, these are all the people we with, or maybe not even, there's nobody else with us. It's just us. We trained up on it, and you and I are going. We trust each other. We're like, okay, we're not faking any of this shit. I know this is going to be our new show, but like, we're not faking any of this stuff. We're doing very straightforward. And wherever it is, we go through and like open all the door, make sure nobody's hiding or anything. Yeah. As close as we, as two amateur assholes, can do to clinical thing. And some weird shit happens that we cannot explain.
Right.
I would possibly. I mean, there are a lot of options I might consider. I can't. It's like, until I'm there, I can't say for sure. Sure. But I feel like if it really impacted me, I'd be like, maybe I shouldn't be so certain that there isn't something preternatural or super. Maybe that's a possibility that I have discounted that I should keep in the back of my head. I wouldn't be like, oh, guess there's ghosts. Like, right. The best case scenario would make me question my existing beliefs and remind me to keep a skeptical eye even on my own beliefs.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And it would definitely open my mind to things. It would not change my opinion about the afterlife. Or... Right. Ghosts or anything, because how could it? It's not like you said, like, how compelling can one instance in a house with two people and a door moved be versus everything I know about how science and physics works?
Right. Well, but also,
and all the other times it hasn't been like, yeah.
Right. But also you all. So, okay. So again, and I'm kind of going off of what you're saying. If I decide, okay, this person isn't hoaxing it. Things are moving around by themselves, you know, violating the known laws of physics. I still don't know it's a ghost.
The thing. The first you go is you go, I honestly don't know how that happened. How weird is that?
Yeah. I mean, could someone suggest, oh, sometimes there are these storms of electrostatic energy that just go through a place that look like a ghost or a spirit or an intelligent thing. That's more believable to me, even though I don't know what the science is behind that. But what I'm saying is even if you acknowledge these things are moving by themselves, no one's hoaxing it, and that's not how physics usually works. You don't know still, though, if there's a scientific explanation, if you could replicate it or if you could measure it somehow.
Maybe it's fucking aliens, or maybe it's a fucking psychic telekinetic looking in the window and screwing with it. I mean, these are all also crazy explanations. But you don't know. Why are any of them more likely than others?
Right. But see, what happens is instead is there are certain conclusions made, and it's not just, oh, that's a ghost. There's other conclusions made. Like they show these videos and they have commentators, right, talking about them. And these commentators will say things like, well, there's a lot of emotional energy in this place because of X, Y, or Z. Well, emotional energy, what's that? Or they'll say things like, the energy has to go somewhere. Well, what do you mean? What energy? Emotional energy, usually they're talking about, has to go. Or when someone dies, their energy has to go somewhere. What are you talking about? So it's not just one thing like that was a ghost. A whole thing emerges, a whole complex.
You've invented new physical forces.
Yes, and not only that.
Not been proven.
And they're talking about it like this is how it is. And they even have kind of a typology of like, well, that's a shadow figure, and shadow figures always do this. It's like, wait, what? Yeah. Why are you acting like there's some kind of science super, behind this?
Super racist against shadow
figures. But
but the reason they are is, as is obvious by how few listeners we have, this version is not compelling television.
Well, and I'm not criticizing anyone, and a person can believe what they want. I'm just pointing out that sometimes I sense some disdain to people who are skeptics or who don't quite go along with it. And I think I don't have a problem with what you believe and you know how you're putting things together, but I think you can have some understanding for someone who watches all this and goes, nah, I don't think so. I mean, those people aren't just being jerks. They're not being persuaded is what's happening. And that's okay too.
But also it always gets presented as you have to be, you're not allowed to be a person that's just like, I don't know. That's interesting. Mm. You have to be like, I definitely, this is proof. Or you have to be like, no, here. And you have to come up with another explanation.
Yeah, right.
Because again, I don't watch a lot of the real ones, but they're always like, oh, it was somebody put something in our drink, or oh, it was infrasound or whatever. You can say, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You don't immediately have to flip to the other extreme of the argument.
Right.
In fact, you shouldn't.
Yeah. We are having fun watching them, though, I have to say. They're fun to watch. And it's fun to talk about them later. Like, to say,
none of the people get murdered. I don't see the point.
Well, that's another thing is, a lot of times people are really, okay. Now, I can understand an ordinary person, a lay person like myself, maybe being freaked out by something that happens in front of them. But some of these people are, forgive me for putting it in air quotes, investigators. And, you know, they're going into these things, presumably investigating, and also presumably understanding that having some knowledge of what this phenomena is about, or, you know, they talk like they do. But something will happen, like a door slamming, and they will run for the hills like they're afraid that they're about to die. And that doesn't make sense to me. Like, wait a minute. First of all, what's threatening about a door slamming? Second of all, you're an investigator. Why don't you go over there and investigate?
I understand what your quotes were not heavy enough. They're reality TV stars.
Maybe. Well, I mean, but some of them, I mean, they don't. Well, I don't know. I don't know who most of these people are, but.
I mean, like every reality TV show. Okay. Real Housewives notwithstanding. Those people have a job within the show, but their job is reality TV show person. Mm. And it's the same way, because I used to watch competitions and stuff where they edit it to make things look freaky or intense or on edge or conflicted when they're really not.
Yeah. Well,
and along those lines, you have to act like, oh, this could have any consequences at all. You have to do that because it's not a good show if you come in and you're like, yo, we'll do some tables, see what happens. It's fine. Oh, we got some weird shit. That was interesting, I guess.
I suppose. No,
it has to be like, oh, these spirits might fuck us up if we do it wrong. Oh, the door's going to get us.
But
then they always come right back in, I assume, after the door slam. No, they panic a little bit and they talk about the energy and then they go back in.
Well, not in these instances, because some of these people are not like famous. Well, I mean, they kind of got famous because they had a viral video, but a lot of these people do leave.
So it's a paranormal investigation show where they walk in and a door slams and that's the end of the episode?
Okay, so the videos they show are like amateur videos, right? They're not people who are doing shows. They will call themselves investigators and they'll call what they're doing investigating, but they're like, they're not making a show, I don't think. And some of them are like called in, like
they didn't know they were being filmed.
No, I mean, I'm confused by it, to be honest, because it's like you're in the wrong job if you're investigating ghosts and the thing that scares you the most is a possible ghost. I just don't get it. But some of these people are people who the way they got their footage is, okay, so someone has weird things happening in their house. And so they, I guess, Google ghost hunters or something. And you can find a ghost hunting group in just about any town.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And those ghost hunting groups aren't necessarily making shows. I mean, they're like.
I find most of the ghost hunting groups that are really trying to hunt ghosts aren't making, because I've known some.
Yeah.
And it's, they want to learn. They want to know. They want to experience. Right. So they don't care about putting it on TV.
But they will film some of their stuff. And if they capture something, they'll post it online. And sometimes that can go viral and that can end up on this show. And then they can end up on the show too, talking about it. But, you know, again, a ghost. So if you're going to be a ghost hunter and you're going to take calls from people saying, hey, there's something weird going on in my house, I would think you have a little more courage in the face of supernatural or, you know, paranormal or whatever phenomena happening around you. I would think, I mean, to me, it's like if you're a pest control person and you're scared of spiders or whatever, it's like, well, that's not going to work out for you. Do you see what I'm trying to say? I don't know.
Maybe the big money comes from controlling pests. So you gotta just.
I don't know. I don't want to be unfair to anybody in all this, but it's like, and again, I totally respect other people's beliefs. Absolutely, I do.
Also, keep in mind, some people like being scared.
Yeah, I guess so. And I am fascinated by some of these stories. They are interesting. Some of the footage is interesting. And I've always liked stories like these, and I've always been interested in them. So sometimes I hesitate to talk about my own skepticism because I think it puts people off who believe. It's like, oh, I can't talk to him. He's going to make fun of me, or he's just not going to believe me. And some people, it really hurts their feelings to not be believed. Although I don't think I don't not believe them. It's the explanation that I might not believe. The experience, I totally believe and I understand. And I think I'd feel the same way as they do if I had a similar experience.
I see. I worry about this too, hurting people's feelings and stuff and feeling like I'm degrading their beliefs and they're being singled out is something I worry about. my take has been I try and ridicule everyone's beliefs on everything at all times.
Equally.
And that can initially be off-putting, but once you get to know me, you're just like, that's how he is. He's not, it's not personal. It's just his broken soul. and
anyway, yeah. It has been fun and interesting, but it hasn't really changed my mind about anything. But I I think it's a fun show to watch. We should
start faking some shit behind us during recording. Like,
I mean, if we did it well, it could go viral, but then we'd have to keep the lie going. Do you think you could do that?
I'm just gonna say.
No,
most of the things you think you know about me, not true. I'm not going to go into specifics, but yeah, don't worry about it. I think I can keep a lie going.
I mean, that kind of lie.
Everyone from my past.
I mean, that kind of lie. I mean, that kind.
Doesn't matter what kind.
Okay. I thought maybe some would be harder than others.
No, my challenge in life is maintaining the truth for any length of time.
All right.
When I go to a medical professional, I have to front load my sentences with as much truth as possible because I know by the end I'm going to be making shit up. So I got them to focus on the beginning part.
Okay. All right. Well, how was your week? Yeah. We talked a long time about that.
Is all right getting back into the world, getting shit done. Hasn't been super fun, but it always is a rough sort of adjustment when I, you know, abandon all hope for a while. And but yeah, things are getting back on track, and holidays are coming up.
Oh man, they Although sure are.
We managed to get our hands on our. You know, we do the United Way thing every year where we buy shit for some needy family. Or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Trish got in there early. The names were already available. We got two different families, and we basically have almost purchased everything already for them.
Wow.
So, cool. So that's been neat. I'm trying to find video games to keep myself occupied until the new year, because that's when I'll start Baldur's Gate 3. But I'm waiting because I anticipate getting very sucked in and then having to leave for Thanksgiving and leave for Christmas, and I can't take my Xbox with me. I'm going to be sad. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to wait that till that's done. So I'm trying to play other things. I actually finally started playing the original BioShock.
Really?
The remastered BioShock. Yeah.
Hmm. How are you liking
that? I mean, they're older than dirt at this point, and I never thought I would play them because they're first person and I would puke. But now I don't do that anymore. And so a while back there was a sale, and for $10 you could get like the remastered versions of the first two and the third one or whatever. And I don't know if I want to play the others, but I definitely the first one's like an institution, as it were, and to this day people talk about how awesome it is and they replay it and it's super awesome or whatever. So I was like, I should do it. And it's pretty cool. It loses a lot of the tension because I know everything, because again, not thinking I'd ever play them, I read up on them eons ago, and also I watch a lot of video game videos, and these games are so old that they just reference things in them, whatever. So I know all the twists, I know the basic idea. So the tension is not there, but it's still very fun and interesting to play. I'm not good at shooters, so I'm finding it a little difficult. Unfortunately, I picked a normal difficulty, and it's one of those that I don't think I can adjust on the fly. So we'll see. But it's pretty fun so far. It's pretty interesting. I also don't think it's very long, so I'll probably just sort of power through that. But yeah, so I've been trying to find video games to keep myself busy a little bit. We finished Agatha All Along. It's fine. You like Marvel TV shows? Cool. Fine. Whatever. They definitely set it up so they could have another season later. But that's Marvel. That's what they do. They did didn't do like cliffhangery, like so I'm grateful for that. We have now, so that was my show and it's over. So now the new show I've picked is Chaos on Netflix. Are you familiar?
I'm curious about it. We haven't really dived into that one.
It is a modern. It's probably a dramedy. It's probably it's definitely comedy, but like shit is happening for real. Mm-hmm. So dramedy maybe. Mm-hmm. And it's an alternate world in which the Greek gods, I don't want to say are known factually to exist, but are believed by society as a whole to exist and are still openly worshipped and do actually exist. It is mostly focused on Zeus, played by Jeff Goldblum. And it is just some adventures. It's actually narrated by Prometheus. And the thing is arguably a long con set in motion by Prometheus to bring down the gods of Olympus. But we're being really vague. Why? And so we've got various, we're dealing with Eurydice and Orpheus and Dionysus and stuff like that. But it's very weird the times they adhere to actual myth and the times they totally do their own thing. So it's a little mixed, but it's a fun time. I know some of the actors. I don't know many of them, but they're all doing a great job. The guy playing Dionysus is a British gentleman of some sort of darker skinned descent. And he looked kind of familiar. And then I finally figured out for some reason, even though I knew it wasn't him, he was very much reminding me of this British comedian named Mawan Rizwan. And I was sort of getting that energy off of him, which was weird. I'm like, I'm confident I don't know this guy. But it just wouldn't get out of my head. And I'm like, am I really racist? Because I just keep thinking of him that way. And it's not so much that he's like doing an impression of him and he doesn't look exactly like him. I'm just getting that vibe. I'm like, do I know? What? So I look him up. Yeah, it's not Mawan Rizwan. Of course not. I knew it wasn't. It's Naban Rizwan, his brother, who's not a comedian, but is an actor who's been in a lot of things, including some shit I've seen him in. So I'm not racist. It's his fucking brother. But now I feel better.
Good.
And he's marvelous.
Huh.
So yeah, it's fun. I think it's good that it's going to be, it's, you know, 8 episode kind of deal, but we've done 2 or 3 episodes so far. And it's a good time. I like it.
I'll try it out. Maybe
also there are cracks forming in my AMC boycott
still.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kevin Can Fuck Himself was a good one. Cause I made it through a whole season, but I've technically done that before. I did watch the first season of Walking Dead.
Oh,
And also at the end of both of those, I decided fuck off.
True.
But we just finished season 1 of Dark Winds.
Oh yeah,
and I actually think I kind of enjoyed it, and I think I'm gonna watch the second season at some
point. Oh wow, okay.
It's got some stuff, but it's not. The more this kind of stuff comes up, the more I can sort of narrow down what it is about AMC that I don't get along with. And there are two things. One is a very classic, obvious one that I get in everything. If your show is just about shitty people being shitty and everybody sucks, I don't want to watch it.
Right.
And AMC has plenty of those. And a lot of very successful, like HBO shows are based off of it. It's why I don't watch things like Succession and stuff like that. I think it's great, but from what I can tell, it's just assholes being crappy to people. Yeah. So I hate that. But the other version that AMC really excels at, and I freely admit is extremely compelling television if you're not me, is the descent into awfulness via desperation. It's somebody who's not necessarily a good guy, but an okay person. And over times through circumstance and desperation and panic, make mistakes and decisions that lead them down a path, and eventually they're pretty awful.
Right.
And AMC doesn't have a monopoly on this. Ozark is a great example of this. Mm-hmm. But AMC has the classic example, which is Breaking Bad. Mm. And Kevin Can Fuck Himself was basically that. So far, Dark Winds doesn't have that. It's also very self-contained. It's based on Tony Hillerman novels. Have I talked about this show before?
Mm-hmm.
It's based on Tony Hillerman mystery novels, which I have not read any of them, but every other member of my family has read all of them. I don't know why. I'm in a family of big readers. Every family member except me reads a lot of mystery novels. I do not.
Mm.
But so they all read a lot of Tony Hillerman's. And my sister is annoyed with the show because a lot of the characterizations don't match up.
Oh. With
what they were in the books. But I think each season, which so far is only 6 episodes each, covers a novel, but there were several novels sort of set with these characters in this locale. So, like, the next season appears to be the same characters, but the storyline wrapped up. Like, it was comfortably the end. We solved the mystery. We dealt with bad guys. Like, there were a couple of little things of like, oh, so-and-so was dead. Maybe they're not dead. But they weren't like cliffhangery things.
Oh.
They're just like, in some ways, they were more Easter eggs for other reasons. But
oh, right.
So it was a nice, controlled story. And there were definitely bad people in it. And people did bad things. But there were also good people. And there were really interesting relationships and really incredible actors. And a lot of depth and nuance. And yeah, there were people that I didn't hate at the beginning that I also didn't hate by the end. And there were people that I hated at the beginning and didn't hate by the end. And most AMC doesn't give me those.
Yeah. Huh.
You either get, I hate them and I'll always hate them, or I didn't hate them and now I hate them. But they're actual good guys in the show. And they're human. They make mistakes and they have their own personal issues to go through. But
sure.
They're not like, oh, I had to hide the body shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, it's really good.
Cool.
We won't jump on that immediately, but we might watch that. AMC, a while back, dumped a bunch of their shows onto Netflix. Like, not sold them to Netflix, but they are available on Netflix.
Mm.
So if that's your kind of deal, you can check those out. If you're not me, because most people love AMC shows. And I'm super excited because the Creep Tapes just dropped on Shudder.
What did?
The Creep Tapes.
What's that?
Well, to answer that question, are you familiar with the movie Creep?
No.
Are you familiar with its sequel, Creep 2?
No.
Wouldn't it be wild if you were? That would be hilarious.
That would be Creep funny.
Is this movie Creep related to Creep 2? Is it? Well, why, yes, it is. So, Mark Duplass and his friend Bryce something, I don't know, made a sort of a found footage horror film called Creep, where an aspiring filmmaker answers an ad on Craigslist, and he's basically hired to go a pretty decent amount of money to go to this guy's house in the middle of nowhere and just film him for the day. And there's not a lot of information about what, and the things sort of happen. And then what follows is just cringe horror, almost. Like, it's the whole time is very intensely awkward and uncomfortable, and you don't know. There's definitely something wrong with this dude, but it's so hard to tell what, and it's so much of like, oh shit, is he like terrible? Oh no, there's an explanation for why that's like that, and other stuff that's not scary, but just like, this guy's weird. He has a lot of boundary issues. He clearly has some emotional thing, and like, a lot, and but it is a horror film, and it gets real. And I don't know why. I describe it here on paper, I should hate this kind of thing. Really like it.
Hmm.
Really, really found it. I mean, again, it's uncomfortable. And this is not the kind of thing I normally go for. That it's there's a weird intimate intensity to it that just hit in a certain way for me. And then they made a sequel, but it's the same dude and this the same guy hires somebody else. And by here, we know like all the twists and everything from the first movie. We have a better sense of who this dude is. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have to branch out into his motivation. Like the first time he was a mystery box, as it were. And now it's much more like trying to sort of get into his psyche and shit. And so they actually made a pretty compelling sequel for all that on a certain level. It's just sort of the same thing, but it's not the same thing. And people have been sitting around waiting for the third one, which supposedly is coming. But in the meantime, they made a 6-episode series of like, I guess they're sort of mini versions. And I've heard about it for a while and I've been very excited. And they dropped today. The first 2 episodes dropped today. So if anybody thinks any of that could be interesting, I'd say check out the first one. Check out Creep. If you're a fan of Mark Duplass, he's incredible in it. I think of myself as not a fan of Mark Duplass, but he is incredible in it. And yeah, it is a good quality movie. But it is freaky. All right, let's talk for a minute about Sasquatch Sunset.
Okay. So I looked that up, by the way, after you talked about
okay.
it. Maybe we're going to see it. And
Did you see the trailer?
No.
You should see the trailer. I mean, the trailer will answer the question of if you want to see it. You wouldn't think it will, but here's what I'll say. If you watch the trailer, that's the movie.
Oh.
So, like, you're going to want to know how I felt about it. And I don't know. And full disclosure, I was high. But I don't think I would know any better if I wasn't. It's Jesus.
You mentioned Jesus last time. Jesus isn't in
four actors, one of whom is Jesse Eisenberg, and the other three of whom I don't really know, but I sort of looked them up, and they have careers. Like, they are working actors. They are not unnamed. Like, they already have a career, and one of them's Jesse fucking Eisenberg. Got put into full-on Sasquatch costumes. They are made to look like Sasquatches. And it's a 90-minute feature following these four Sasquatches in the world. It sort of goes over the course of a year, I think, because it's in seasons. And just what happens to them. And it's gotten sort of a cult status, and the phrase I hear a lot from people is surprisingly touching. And I guess it is that. It's also the comedy veers tonally where there's some shit that, like, I don't want to say is fourth wall breaky, but it's things where it's like, that's not a thing the Sasquatch would do. It's clearly a... Okay. I guess spoilers. There's a weird bit with a turtle for a while, like an actual turtle, and it eventually devolves into a couple of Sasquatches kind of doing a bit like the turtle's a phone and, like, talking into it and not and passing back and forth and stuff. But, like, there's no reason to believe Sasquatches know what phones are, and it's not played like they're making a joke amongst themselves. It's like, like that's not a real thing. But then there's other parts where they work real hard to sort of be as realistic as you can with it.
Yeah,
but it's what it is. I mean, like, which if you watch the trailer to the movie, you're like, what the fuck is it? And the answer is simultaneously, it's exactly what you just saw in that trailer, and I have no idea, and I watched it. So, like, I don't know, man. It wasn't bad. Was it good? I don't. That doesn't feel fair to say either. It was. Yeah. It definitely was a movie.
Like, it was a movie.
And I'm not sorry I saw it, but I also don't care that I saw it. Like, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's weird that it, I guess I'm very happy that this kind of shit is still happening.
Sure.
Like, people need to do this to fight against the homogenization of all movies nowadays. And so I love that somebody can come out with this weird ass shit and get funding and get really good actors involved and have it happen and have it, at least in niche realms, get a happy response. So, like, this can continue. But
what was the elevator pitch, do you think? Is that?
I don't know. Like, what if four Sasquatches were? Like, there's definitely a plot, but it's a very vignette heavy plot where, like, 90% of the scenes, you could put them in any order and it wouldn't change the film.
Right, right.
Also, there's no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of bodily humor. I don't quite want to go toilet humor, but, like, there's some stuff involving pooping. There's stuff in you see, I mean, you'll see it in the trailer. You see Sasquatches having sex. And you see Sasquatches just sitting around while other Sasquatches near them are having sex in, like, extended, like, there's a lot of just, like, things we're just watching and, like, nothing, like, it's weird. The characters don't even have names, of course. There are four of them, and they are referred to as male, female, alpha, and child. And I mean, stuff definitely happens, and sometimes you have feelings about it. But, like, what if four Sasquatches were? And sometimes it was funny. I don't. There's also an implication that these might be the last four of the species. Mm. It's, I don't know. I don't know, man. is a movie.
Okay.
All right, we're about out of time. I feel like there was other shit on the list I forgot to cover. Agatha, Darkwing, Sasquatch, Sunset. Well, I guess that was pretty much it. Yeah, I think that's it. You got anything you want to plug? Oh, I will actually say this. Agatha All Along is fine. Whatever. Watch it. Don't watch it. Doesn't really matter. The publicity tours for Agatha All Along are wonderful.
No.
Because Catherine Hahn, Sasheer Zamata, Aubrey Plaza, Patti LuPone, all going around doing the various, like, there's, I get in this mood. It's, we know Hot Ones, the TV show Hot Ones.
Sure.
It's a good show. I don't watch every episode.
Yeah.
Because it a little goes a long way. And also, a lot of them, I don't care how this person will respond to Hot Wings or what they will say in interesting questions. YouTube likes to throw them at me because we've watched a few in the past, and it's a very popular show. And if it's somebody I'm like, oh, I actually do watch it, I'll watch that. But so the other day, it threw something at me that was somebody I'm not even sure I knew who they were, but I was like, I want to watch an episode of Hot Ones. Not that one, but I want to watch one that I haven't seen, whatever. So I'm like, well, let's go to the actual channel, First Three Feast. And I go there, and I'm always like, what else is on this channel besides Hot Ones? And the answer is not much.
Yeah.
But there is some. But there is a spinoff game I didn't know of that they do videos for called Hot Ones Versus. And it is a similar thing in that people go on it because they want to plug stuff, but it's generally two people associated with the same project are on it, and they ask each other questions that are intended to be like deeply personal or possibly awkward to answer in public kind of things. And you can either answer them or instead eat. There's like five wings that are coated in some of their hottest sauces or whatever.
Right.
And hijinks ensue as with the normal hot ones. And then whoever answered the fewest questions and therefore ate the most wings loses. And there is no consequence for it. It just happens. And so there's two people. And they're also shorter. Average episode of Hot Ones is about 30 minutes. These are about 15 minutes. And so in looking this, I found out Patti LuPone and Aubrey Plaza went on Versus together. And they have become great friends. And even though Aubrey Plaza, 40, Patti LuPone, 75. And apparently Aubrey Plaza, as the shooting for Agatha ended, did her first ever off-Broadway show. And she ended up going and living with Patti LuPone in her apartment during that time. And they became good friends. And so, and also Patti LuPone is a 75-year-old Broadway legend. So she gives no shits for anyone. And it's just hilarious. And they're so catty to each other and they adore each other so much. And they have so much trouble with the wings. And it's just a fun time. And this led me down the rabbit hole of other. And that is the one big strength of Agatha, is that all the people involved had really good chemistry. And so, and but they were reading a Marvel script, so they were limited in how much they could come out of, you know, now is the time to quip, now is the time to be sad, now is the time to fight, now is the time to quip, you know. These like interviews and stuff, they did. So seek out the press junkets for Agatha All Along. It's more entertaining. And Patti LuPone is a national treasure. One of the questions actually started with, like, so you are a 3-time Tony winner, but you're also a 5-time Tony loser. And the question was, of the times you lost, which winner is the least deserving?
Oh, no.
And I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm going to tell you she answers it, and she answers it hard.
Oh, wow.
And it's hilarious. And I did not see both shows involved, but I did see one, and I don't agree. But knowing both shows, there's also ones about apparently in the past she's said she's advocated for term limits on Broadway and have mentioned specific musicals that she think went on too long. And so they had a game where they had to guess which one and stuff like that. Yeah, she didn't pull no fucking punches. She's a badass bitch. And of course Aubrey Plaza is also a badass bitch. So it was a fun time. Yeah. All right. So I forgot. Did you have something to play? Do you have a new album coming out or
no?
All right. That next Netflix deal fell through.
Fell through.
All right. Well then, please write us something, because nobody wants to see this. Go to themagicstaringhead.com. No. We'll go there too and talk on the blog. Tell us your favorite Patti LuPone stories. Weirdly, I first knew her as the mom in Life Goes On. I didn't know she had a theater background. The same way that I used to think of Hal Linden as Barney Miller and not realize that most of his career was on the stage. There's so many famous Broadway people that I don't know about on Broadway. So why would I? And then listen next week, that won't be our Thanksgiving episode. That'll be the one after. So next week will be our almost Thanksgiving episode. So listen to it to prepare yourself psychologically.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.